Bill Clinton came to San Francisco for the Democratic National Convention, hungry for attention. It was July 1984, and the second-term Arkansas governor, not yet 40 years old, knew where to find opportunity. The convention itself would be a morose affair, with party regulars dutifully ratifying former Vice President Walter Mondale as their nominee. 4 years earlier, Mondale had been number two on the Jimmy Carter-led ticket that surrendered 44 states to Ronald Reagan. For a while, Democrats had believed Reagan's triumph to be a fluke, especially when a nasty recession pushed unemployment to over 10% early in his term. But by the summer of 84, the economy was resurgent. Patriotism was in full bloom. Los Angeles would soon host the Summer Olympics. And America's grandfatherly president was enjoying some of the best poll numbers of his tenure. Democrats, a survey of delegates revealed, were significantly less optimistic about Mondale's prospects than they had been about Carter's back in 1980. Even the truest of true believers knew it. Reagan was going to swamp them again. This meant the race for the next time around was already on. Once Mondale suffered his inevitable defeat in November, the search would commence for a new leader for the party, someone to carry the torch in 1988 when Reagan would be forbidden from running again and the country might, after 8 years of Republican rule, be ready for a break. The conversation was already underway, and Clinton was intent on forcing his name into it. His ambition had never been parochial or regional. It was national office Clinton coveted, and he'd spent his post-adolescent life maneuvering to attain it. Boys Nation delegate, Georgetown undergrad, intern for a powerful senator, Rhodes Scholar, law school at Yale. Those early years had been about making personal connections, mixing with the national power class and those who would one day join it, charming them with his warmth and charisma, dazzling them with his intellect, his sharp political instincts, his potential. Then, after finishing law school in 1973, the critical decision: to leave it all behind and head back to his native Arkansas, an impoverished state practically invisible to the very people he'd just spent years cultivating. But in Arkansas, there was political opportunity. The ancient segregationist order was at last giving way. If he could just get a toehold and win some political office back home, any political office, Clinton knew he could move up and make his way to the top of the Arkansas political ranks. And then he would have it, the springboard to go national, to reconnect with all those people he'd so impressed as a young man. Except now, they would have matured into positions of power and influence, making them immensely useful to their old pal from Arkansas. He took his first shot in 1974, and the timing seemed perfect. The Watergate scandal finally took down Richard Nixon that summer, and he left behind a Republican Party in ruins, discredited by the blind eye that too many of its leaders had turned to the president's misdeeds for too long. Clinton, only a year out of law school, set his sights on a congressman named John Paul Hammerschmidt, the only Republican elected to the House from Arkansas since Reconstruction. Surely, in this most anti-Republican of states, in this most anti-Republican of years, Hammerschmidt's party label would doom him, especially since he'd been one of the very last men in Washington to see Nixon for what he was. But the district's voters were also conservative. These were the days before party label and ideology synced up, and so was the incumbent. The national tide was strong for Democrats that November, but Clinton fell 3 points short. It was still the closest any Democrat had come to knocking off Hammerschmidt, and the closest any Democrat would ever come. With his near miss, Clinton earned credibility with the Arkansas political world. Here was someone who was going places, the kind of guy you'd want to get in good with today because you'd surely need him tomorrow. When Clinton ran for Attorney General 2 years later, Republicans didn't even bother to put up an opponent. And when Governor David Pryor opted to run for the Senate in 1978, the top job in Little Rock was suddenly open, and Clinton's for the taking. The race wasn't close. At 32, he was his state's youngest governor ever, and the youngest any state had seen since the 1930s.